Good morning, everybody. I'm Bill Dance. If you love fishing as much as I do, you're really going to like listening to my old buddy, Luke Clayton, for the next hour.
Thanks, Bill. This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past 3 decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers and is on the pro staff of Gearhead Archery, Air Force Air Guns, Sightmark, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Nielsen Specialty Bullets, and feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guest for this week's show.
Well, folks, welcome to our show. It is now Campfire Talk time, and Campfire Talk is brought to us each week by the Dallas Safari Club, Texas Wildlife Association, Hornady, and Striper Express. Bill carries Striper Express up on beautiful Lake Texoma. And we do have Mr. Wysoon standing by. Good morning to you, Larry.
Good morning to you, Luke. You know, we're into July, and I'll be very open with everybody. A lot of times in the years past, come July, I've been in Africa, and we'd have been doing this way ahead of time or after our
return
from Africa. But, you know, this year, Africa's really kind of closed down for the time being with all this COVID-19 type of thing going on, and I'm sure it's pretty interesting over there right now.
Yeah, you know it is. You travel. I had a trip planned like right now up in way northwest Saskatchewan up at the Tasman Lake Lodge up there fishing
those
big lake trout and pike. And I got a notice from the airlines that was, well, we can't go into Canada anyway, you know, from across the border right now. But, yeah, it's made the COVID thing has made a lot of schedules and a lot of trips has to be canceled. I mean, we're having fun, but we have to do it closer to home. But, yeah, I know that the Africa thing, gosh, I guess hunting pretty much is in Africa. Now is prime time when a lot of the hunts take place, isn't it?
Right. You're exactly right. It's winter time over there right now, and what's happened is with them closing things down there's a lot of people in Africa, and poaching is an absolutely huge problem in some of these areas, particularly now because in the way things are set up, usually the professional hunters, they essentially lease land from the native groups there, and they get paid that way, and they get paid on a per-animal basis, and then they get all the meat and all those kind of things as well, too. And with that not going on, the poaching thing is really kicked up, and you know, I'm involved, of course, like you are with DSC, but also serve on the DSC Foundation Board. And one of the things we do is grant monies to needy causes when it comes to wildlife and particularly as related to hunting. And hunting is conservation or conservation is hunting kind of thing. And one of the things that we've set up to help a lot of those PHs over there and the hunting groups is a thing called Hunters Care, which is essentially stands for COVID Anti-Poaching Relief Efforts. And what it is people can donate. It's a 501c or 501, I can't remember exactly, but it's a nonprofit to where everything that you donate can be tax deductible. But you can go to the website to dscf.org and learn a little bit more about it, see a lot of things that are going on, and look at some of the testimonials from some of the PHs that have received some of this money. And it's a place to donate, and that money comes in to DSCF, and it goes out immediately. Now, you can designate it to a certain country, to a certain PH that you've dealt with in the past or want to deal with, or just into a general fund, and then it will be distributed amongst those folks that are really in terms of needing help in terms of keeping their anti-poaching people on the ground. And in some instances, that also relates to the fact of, you know, providing food and those kind of things for some of the local villages as well. But it's absolutely fantastic program. Again, it's a total pass-through of dollars. So, you know, if you can, like I said, go to dscf.org, or you can also go to biggame.org and go from there to a place where you can learn more about all this. And it's really and truly an important program that's going on right now. But, you know, you mentioned fishing as well, too. I keep wanting to get out and do some fishing here as of late. I just haven't had time. We've been so busy with some of the things with DSCF. But here, not too long ago, I remember getting a message from you saying, hey, I'm down on the coast and we're gigging flounders.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago, Larry. Down there, a good friend of mine, Trey Schmidt, fellow German. Folks, Larry is a Weissoon. You probably already figured out Larry's a German. German descent, I guess would be the way to say it, right, Larry?
Right.
German exactly. Descent, yeah. But Trey, he gigs flounder, and I tell you what I learned on that deal, sheep's head. I've caught sheep's head. They've got right. a real tough mouth, and you need
yeah.
a real sharp, like a case-hardened hook to hook them. Well, if you have your fin fish license, which is what you need to gig flounder, you know, at night, that's our
right.
day, night times when you can get them. But Trey has that finfish license. Then they're a pretty coveted license. They don't come easy, I found out. You
really?
Almost have to, yeah, you can't just go buy one from Parks and Wildlife. It's just so many of them around. But anyway, he's had it for years, the license, and that allows him to gig sheep's head and blue crab. But
really?
Yes, uh-huh, and I mean to tell you, he had a sack full of crab, blue crabs for me. We cooked them down there in Galveston.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my Lord, they were good, Larry. But with some of that Zataran shrimp and crab boil, you know.
Oh, yes, sir, exactly. exactly what you're saying.
We
wow.
had that down there. I was gigging the sheep's head, and I'll tell you one thing. The flounder on the bottom of the bay, the water's going to be a foot and a half to 30 inches deep, maybe. The flounder are very hard to spot. I mean, Trey's done it for a lifetime, and he can spot those things. But the only flounder that I gigged, and I was on the sheep's head, excellent eating. I'm going to get to the sheep's head in a minute, Larry.
Good, but, yeah, because they are.
You know they are. And they're not that hard to clean, but... I was gigging the fin fish, and he would let – I gigged a couple of – probably four flounder. But I said, okay, Trey, you point them out to me, you know, and I want to make sure I make a good – you know, he liked to gig those in the head. Actually, he sells them to restaurants down there, you know.
Oh, okay.
To one restaurant, and his legal limit is 30 per night. And he always, I don't guess he ever comes back without 30. He might stay out there till almost sun up, but he'll get them. But we got back, and I asked him to show me how to fillet those the sheep's head. And it's not hard to do. The main thing is, he showed me, you cut through like a normal fillet job. He cuts through the rib cage. But
right.
rather than removing that first fillet, he flips the sheep's head over, flips the fish over, and he says, let that fillet that's already severed almost, let that support it so you can make a good smooth cut on the other side of the fish, you know?
Yeah,
so,
makes sense.
Yes, and, you know, in other words, if you just cut and remove one fillet when you lay that fish down the way he's built, the gill up around the gills is so thick, it's kind of slanting
right.
down, and you can't,
right.
you couldn't do it. He said, that's the trick, and I always thought they were a real trick with the bones, but it's not. They fillet just about like a striper. But, yeah, they are so good. I'm going to go back. We're going down there in August and just spend, you know, he said the whole thing is be ready to sleep after we get back because we're going to be up most of the night.
You're going to have the night shift, are you?
Yes, sir. It's hard to do that when you're down there with family vacationing. I got
yeah, that's
kind of I think I got back. I got in bed back at that house we had rented. I got back there about 2:30. but anyway, yeah, so had some good sheep's head. And then here, Larry, about a week and a half ago, I was up at Striper Express, Bill Carey and his son, Chris.
Oh, Lordy, yes.
Oh, my goodness, you talking about – it was – I'm telling you, hands down, I fished a lot. That has to go down in my books as the most exciting striper fishing trip I've ever been on. And there was some factors that made it that. Well, I had my grandson, Jack Zimmerman, Zimmerman. Jeff Rice was with us filming. But here's what happened. There was storms coming through. And right. Chris is Bill Carey's son, awesome, one of the best guides I've ever fished with, no kidding. He knows what he's doing, does it every day. We're up there in the, at Mill Creek there in under the at the dock, and here comes the storm rumbling through, and we're looking at radar. Anybody that's ever guided knows that only the guide can make the call. Nobody else can.
Right,
he's watching that radar, and he says he wanted to get out so bad. We ran 27 miles. He said, where I want to go is 27 miles from right here. And he said, I'm not going to go unless it looks safe. And finally, he watched the radar, and he said, let's go. We took off. We got a little bit wet, not too wet, and we went 27 miles. And pulled up, Larry, and stopped that boat, looked out there. There was at least, I don't know, an acre of big old gizzard shad jumping out of the water, stripers right on their tail.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You know, so it was top water bite, and then we used sassy shads and even slabs, but we limited out right there in about an hour and a half in that one school.
So, golly, I was able to do that kind of stuff a few years ago, well, years ago, actually,
yep.
On Lake Amistad with David O'Keefe, a dear friend of mine many years ago. He was a striper guide there and owned all the striper records for size and all that
yep.
kind of thing. But that is a lot of fun,
isn't it, Larry? You know, well, maybe when you and I get together on a hog hunt, which we're planning, I still have plenty of striper fillets. We will blacken us some, or we'll fry some up. We'll have us a fish cookout. What do you say?
We will, and I'll tell you what, I'll bring you some of those Scimitar Horn Oryx steaks. You know, and that said, I'll tell you what, we talked a little bit about in the past about getting ready for hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where I'm headed here, just a little bit to my place. I've got a Ruger 77 African, really pretty wood, and blued steel topped with a Trigicon Huron scope, and I've got a couple of boxes of warranted ammo that I'm taking out there, and I'm going to try to do a little bit of hunting this year with that 6.5 by 55 Swedish, which is an old cartridge, and then I've just got a 275 Rigby too that I've got same combination on that I'm going to try to sight in later today and start shooting a little bit and getting ready.
Yeah, Larry, is that the same caliber as what, you know, the Swedish Mauser? Is that the same, you know, you used to hear, I grew up, and they're a notoriously accurate caliber. I know that. No?
Yeah, the 6.5 by 55 Swedish has been around for a long, long time, and I think it's been called that a time or two ago.
Swedish Mauser, yeah.
It kind of like that 275 Rigby. That's the same thing as a 7mm Mauser or 7x57, you know, that's been around for a long, long time. And kind of, as you know, I've talked in the past, is the older I get, the more I enjoy those older cartridges.
Oh, yeah.
The history that's involved with those things. So, I'm going to spend a little time sight that thing in and start shooting them at a little bit longer distances just for the fun of it. And then come hunting season, I'm going to try to know what's sighted in, and I'm going to try to get as close as I can before I pull that trigger.
Won't be long, Larry. Well, we'll be right here with all of our friends this time next week. And you be safe this week. Have some fun, and look forward to next week already, buddy.
I am too. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for being with us.
Well, folks, while we're in hunting mode here, I want to tell you about some products that I've used a long time, some of them a long time, some of them for a year, but all of them I can guarantee you work. And for many years, I have used Carl Harmon's Ultramatic feeders. Those things, I've got one, folks, that's been in the woods for about 8 years and still works like the day I put it in there. Just I've had to replace the batteries, of course. Got a solar panel on it, keeps the batteries charged. Ultramatic feeders, in my opinion, there is no better deer feeder than these. They're completely concealed. They come in a box. Everything stays dry. It has the timer. Simple to set. And also what you want to look at is the eliminator. It works on centrifugal force and mounts to the 1/4 inch drive motor. And this thing seals off all corn. You know, there's no way a raccoon or squirrel can get in there and rob your corn. So you can learn all about these products at ultramaticfeeders.com or just on our radio website, catfishradio.org. Now, talking about hogs, which I usually have known to do. If you're a night, if you hunt hogs much, you probably hunt them at night. Now, Sightmark makes the Wraith. Now, I used the previous model. It was the Photon RT. I even went back as far as the Photon XT that Sightmark makes. The Wraith is it's a digital day and night scope. It's color during the day. Of course, has the IR for night use. It costs, listen to this, $500. Now, you know, thermal, obviously, is the catch me out. But thermal costs a lot of dollars. No need beating around the bush there. If you are an average hunter that, you know, that's going to be shooting hogs out to, say, 125, 150 yards at night, the digital is going, this Wraith is what you need. The price is $500. How about that? And they do work. So you can check the Wraith out on sightmark.com, or just remember, always go to the radio website. I have a direct link. Go to catfishradio.org, and you can click right there on any of the sponsored links. But the Wraith is something that I want you to check out. It costs $500, and it does get the job done.